What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 113. This is part 5 of our whole series talking about statin medication, so the statin scan part 5. And we're finally touching on some of the symptoms and side effects of taking a statin. Last week, we talked about diabetes. This week, we're going to talk about heart disease and how statins have been linked to heart disease and various studies and the mechanism behind that. But first, the article of the week this week is talking about blue light and blue light blockers. So specifically, that article is called Blue Light Glasses Improve Sleep and Workday Productivity, Study Finds. So you can find this article on tntwellnessandnutrition.com if you want to check it out. But it's pretty relevant for, I guess, this world, this current climate, because everyone's doing work online. But Tom, do you want to break down that article real quick?
Yeah, so this study is coming out of Indiana University, and the article's on sciencedaily.com. So basically, I mean, our general lives, normal time, is going to be lots of TV screens, a lot of phone screens, lots of computer screens, stuff like that. But I feel like that's increased even more during the pandemic, especially if you're working from home or if you're a student. So instead of like actually looking at a teacher, like now your teacher's on your screen. So that's going to increase screen time for those people as well. So basically what this study did is it had their participants either wear blue light blocking glasses or a placebo, which was just basically clear glasses that don't block anything. And then what they found is that the people wearing blue light blockers got more sleep, better sleep, and then we're more productive the next day. So, I mean, that should be a given. Of course, if you get more sleep and you get better sleep, you're going to have more energy. More energy should lead to greater productivity. So, I mean, it's like, it's not rocket science with this study.
No, it's not. It's pretty straightforward. And if you don't know about blue light blockers, we have an article on the website about blue light blockers. And we might have some links on there to like Amazon for some blue light blockers we recommend. But they're really just super simple looking glasses. They're usually kind of yellow tinted. And they're called blue light blockers because they block the blue wavelength. And that kind of simulates nighttime for our eyes and tells our brains that, hey, it's time to get some rest. It's time to settle down. And when we do whatever, play video games at night, watch TV late at night, and how 99% of us stare at our phones right before we go to bed, and we don't have blue light blockers on, or we don't have kind of like an app on our phone that shifts the color of our screen to more of a yellow tone, if it stays blue, it's telling our brain that the sun's still out. It's telling our brain that it's not time to go to sleep. So it's kind of, it's confusing for our brains. You know, would you put it that way?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's 10 o'clock at night, but your body thinks it's noon, so that throws off your circadian rhythm, your, like, sleep cycles.
Yeah, and it's even worse now, like Tom said, before, at least just looking specifically for, like, students, in my case, right, you go to school all day, 8 hours, and you're staring at a person, and you're not worried about blue light specifically, and you go home, and maybe you do watch TV, maybe play games in the evenings, but it's not all day. But now, it's literally all day, these kids, you know, whatever, from kindergarten to high school, they're in front of a computer all day. That's gonna have some consequences.
Yeah, definitely. And blue light is, the reason that you want to block out blue light is it's the one that throws off your sleep rhythms more than anything else. I mean, if you look at your TV at night, like you have, the rest of the room is dark and your TV's on. If you look at the wall, you're going to see one color on your wall, and that's going to be blue light. You're not going to see red. You're not going to see green. You're going to see the blue light coming from that TV screen. So like that's just kind of shows you just like how much more like powerful that blue light is compared to all the other color wavelengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty much the recommendations, and we've made this recommendation before, and I have a pair of blue light blockers. Do you have a pair of blue light blockers?
I do, but you know what? I don't know where they are, and I haven't been wearing them for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, it is hard for me to incorporate them into my just nightly routine. I don't know why. It is real common for me to put my screen on like nighttime mode, so it kind of shifts the tones to more of a yellow color. And so if you can't get blue light blockers, I recommend you do that. I know on the iPhone there's an option. It's super in the easy in the settings. I'm sure for Android there's an option as well. And I know there's also an app, something called Flux, so it's like F.LUX. That's an app that shifts the color tone of our screen to more yellow. So I recommend just doing that, and it's an easy little hack that can give you more sleep. And obviously this study show that improved sleep like increases productivity. It's kind of like, well, no shit, improved sleep does everything, you know, we really need it. So yeah, so that's article of the week. You can find it again, like I said, on the website tntwellnessandnutrition.com. check it out. Blue light blocker is super cheap, super easy. Just work them into your routine if you can.
One more thing about that article is it showed a greater improvement for people that are quote unquote night owls. That's what the article calls them. So if you're used to staying up till like midnight, getting up at 8 a.m., like you're going to see a greater improvement than most people that go to bed at 9 to 5, like you sleep from 9 to 5, something like that. So, everybody did see improvement, but it's like the people that stay up really late at night saw an even bigger improvement. Just wanted to point that out.
Okay, yeah, that's good clarification. Okay, so this week we're, like I said in the intro, we're continuing our whole conversation on statins. I feel like I've read nothing but statin articles for like 2 months now. It's honestly, it's getting a little tiring, but it's making my conviction against statins like even stronger, like by the day. It's crazy how toxic these chemicals are and how pervasive they are. You know, we've talked about it, just like a quick recap, 1 through 4. We talked about the history of why they're recommended. We talked about why lowering LDL is a bad idea. We talked about how the pharmaceutical industry has manipulated data in such a way to make statins appear beneficial, when if you actually look at the data in a correct light, they're not beneficial. And like I said in the intro, we talked about diabetes last week. Today we're talking about heart disease. These are very serious side effects of statins. These aren't like, you know, take a statin, you get a headache. These aren't take statins, maybe it upsets your stomach. You take statins and you get these chronic diseases that take years off your life, quality years off your life. So it's very serious. And the science is fairly ironclad. And I've linked all the articles that I've read on the website. I think it's over 30. It's a crazy amount of articles. So feel free to read them. I recommend you do, even though it'll take you weeks to read all this shit. But you definitely should, you know. And like I said, you might be thinking this is crazy, you know, but I promise it's not. Like, these drugs literally give you the condition they are supposed to be protecting you from. Because if you didn't know, that's what statins are designed to prevent, is heart disease. But I'm going to show you for the next 30 minutes how and why statins actually cause heart disease, the complete opposite of what you've been told. And since the introduction of statins to clinical medicine, and that was in 1987, several kinds of statins were reported to be effective in lowering LDL and also preventing coronary heart disease. And, you know, that was something we talked about in part 3. The data showing that is out there. But that data showing beneficial outcomes was all BS. It is not accurate at all. And unethical problems were associated with clinical trials reported by industry-supported scientists. And new regulations on clinical trials came into effect in 2004. And after 2004, all clinical trials performed by scientists free of conflict of interest with pharmaceutical industries reported that statins were effective in lowering LDL. No one's doubting that. No one's debating that. But no significant beneficial effects were observed for the prevention of heart disease. So they lower LDL, but they don't actually help prevent heart attacks. And maybe that's because we're looking at the wrong biomarker. We've talked about that a million times. We have this weird obsession with LDL. And Tom, do you remember the metaphor about the drunk person looking for their keys outside the bar? Do you know that one?
Yeah, I know this is a Gary Taubes metaphor. I think it's from Good Calories, Bad Calories. I'm not sure, but I know it's from Gary Taubes. So there's a drunk person outside a bar looking for their keys. And a cop comes up to him and asks him, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for my keys. He's like, oh, okay, is this where you lost them? He said, no, I lost them down the street over there, but there's no light, so I'm looking in the light.
And see, like, you see how that makes no sense?
That's what we're doing with LDL.
Yeah, that's what we're doing with LDL. And that's because we have a drug that could lower LDL. And therefore, that's what the industry focused on. It's where all the money is, but it never made any actual logical sense to focus on LDL. But hey, that's just what it is, you know? And the relationship between cholesterol and coronary heart disease is not simple. The diet-heart hypothesis has gone through a ton of revisions, all in the hope of making a flawed concept work. And if you want to learn more about the diet-heart hypothesis, you can listen to episode 1. We talked about all of that. But it went through another revision around 1990, and this is when the bad LDL and good HDL hypothesis was introduced in the clinical trials. And the good and bad cholesterol hypothesis is based on a simplified interpretation that LDL carries triglycerides and cholesterol to peripheral tissues, whereas HDL is involved in reverse transport of cholesterol to the liver to be excreted as excess cholesterol. But this is a little caveat, and this is what makes this whole heart disease kind of complicated. HDL contains an enzyme called lecithin cholesterol acyl transferase, which is used to form cholesterol within HDL, which is then transported back to LDL. It's a whole cycle. So HDL transports cholesterol back to LDL as well, not just to the liver to get excreted. The majority of our daily required cholesterol is biosynthesized in adult tissues. We need that much. That's how important cholesterol is. Our body makes it itself. It doesn't assume we're going to get enough from our diet. The cholesterol taken up by HDL is transferred to LDL, which is redistributed to be reused by all the tissues in our body. So this concept of HDL being good and LDL being bad is flawed on so many levels. These two values are connected and intimately linked. So using blanket terms like good and bad is very, very misleading. And that's just, that's the name of the game in like politically charged science. It's half truths, and half of this shit is very misleading.
Yeah, no, we talked about this before in other podcasts. It's like LDL doesn't only carry cholesterol either. Like as you, like you just said, it carries triglycerides, it carries CoQ10, a whole bunch of other like essential nutrients. So LDL being elevated could have something to do with cholesterol, but not necessarily. And even if it did, it's not the bad guy.
Yeah, it's not the bad guy. So what are some of the mechanisms in which statins induce coronary heart disease? So the ones we're going to focus on today are mitochondrial dysfunction, vitamin K and selenium deficiencies, and increased insulin values. So the first one, which is focuses on mitochondrial dysfunction, we touched on it in part 2 a little bit, is CoQ10 and heme. And these are essential components of the electron transport chain and are synthesized from intermediates in the cholesterol biosynthetic pathway. And this is what statins inhibit. So they inhibit our body's ability to produce CoQ10 and heme, and thereby they inhibit our body's ability to generate ATP. ATP is essential for normal heart muscle function. Therefore, statins are mitochondrial toxins, making all cells ATP depleted. Because the vast majority of cells depend on mitochondria for their energy, statins are general cell toxins. And just to clarify, ATP is the cell currency of our body. So it's what all of our cells use to make energy. We need it. It's very important. And this is what statins prevent our body from making adequate amounts of. It's not good at all. And CoQ10 is of fundamental importance as it relates to cells with exceedingly high metabolic demands, such as cardiac muscle cells. Decreased ATP generation and resulting cell damage contribute to the development of coronary heart disease. The initial formation of plaque has not been well defined. You know, it's pretty complicated. We've talked about it in the past. If you want to learn, just look, search heart disease on the website and you'll find various articles about it. However, any tissue damage, whether derived from a pathogen or non-infectious damage, may induce inflammation to repair damaged tissues, leading to many diseases, including atherosclerosis, which is the, you know, clinical term for plaque formation, plaque buildup. And the associated coronary artery narrowing leads to decreased blood flow and reduced supply of nutrients and oxygen, leading to decreased ATP generation in blood vessels and heart muscle cells. And this is a common question that comes up in the heart disease world, kind of like the chicken or the egg, what comes first. So what comes first, the damage or the plaque buildup? Because people who just blame LDL will say LDL causes the buildup, but that's not true. A gentleman named Walter Hartenbach, he was a former professor of pathology, observed cellular damage in the artery wall before fatty plaques. And fatty plaques are just kind of a cholesterol accumulation. And therefore, the creation of plaque comes after the injury, not the other way around. It's not the cholesterol causing the damage. It's cholesterol responding properly to the inflammation signal and trying to heal the wound. And we've talked about that before. You have that metaphor with the aliens, with the firefighters, and it's just something that we need to get that point across because it's super vital.
Yeah, LDL are fire trucks responding to a fire. And if you remove the fire trucks, you're not getting rid of the fire. And that's what we're trying to do with lowering LDL. No, the fires are still going to be there. The damage is still going to be caused. So getting rid of the fire trucks is actually making the problem worse instead of better.
Yep, exactly. So that's kind of that pathway. You know, the mitochondrial dysfunction, it's not good in any way, shape, or form. It's bad. Another mechanism is that heart failure can be caused by selenium deficiencies. And guess what causes selenium deficiencies? Statins do. So selenium is an essential trace element and is incorporated in something called selenoproteins. And the one in question we're going to talk about here is isopentanyl adenine. And this is synthesized from an intermediate from the cholesterol pathway. And its synthesis is inhibited by statins. And how do we know that selenium deficiencies can lead to heart disease? Is that there's a province in China called Kensha, and heart failure was very common there. And it was later revealed that this was due to selenium deficiencies in the diet. And selenoproteins include glutathione peroxidase. We talked about glutathione in episode 2. It's our master antioxidant. It's what our body uses to kind of mop up all the damage done by free radicals. And when glutathione peroxidase synthesis is inhibited by statins, which it is, oxidative stress is elevated. And oxidative stress is generally accepted as the cause for plaque buildup in our arteries. So how the hell can these drugs be prescribed in the guise of heart health when they cause plaque formation? You know, it makes no sense.
Yeah, and not only that, it's also if you go to your doctor, those same doctors that are going to give you a statin, they're going to tell you to stop eating foods that are the highest in selenium. So foods like that would be pretty much meat, fish, liver especially, and eggs. So they're going to tell you to avoid eggs because of the cholesterol. We already talked about how dietary cholesterol doesn't impact your blood cholesterol. And even if it did, it's not going to impact it in any special way, and it's not even a thing to be concerned about. And also telling you to eat less red meat and stuff like that, you're lowering your selenium even more. You can get selenium from plant sources, but you're not going to get a lot of it.
And that's just the whole double whammy of it. Is I'm going to give you this drug that hurts you, and then I'm going to take away the food that heals you. And that's just, honestly, it's sad. It really is. So another mechanism with statins causing heart disease is vitamin K. So statins inhibit vitamin K2 formation and thereby accelerate coronary artery calcification, which is an important marker of the progress of plaque formation. We've talked about like CAC before. You go out and get a CAC score. This is what it measures, the amount of calcium in your arteries, and you definitely want that number to be as low as possible. And when vitamin K is used as a cofactor, they are reactivated in tissue, so our body kind of recycles vitamins. Therefore, vitamin K deficiency is generally considered uncommon, except for the cases of long-term administration of warfarin, which is kind of an anticoagulant. You can think of it like a blood thinner. If someone comes in with like maybe chronic clots, they'll put them on warfarin, that type of thing. But chronic administration of warfarin is known to accelerate artery calcification, because without vitamin K, your arteries become calcified. And yes, this has been shown in statin trials. And this is one of the I mean, biggest forms of cognitive dissonance I've ever seen, like, in my life. And if you don't know what that is, it's pretty much where a scientist or, I mean, well, shit, anybody, really, but in this case, a scientist, they go into a study with a preformed conclusion, and they will shift and manipulate the data to fit that conclusion no matter what. Because trust me, in any context, increased coronary artery calcification is a bad thing. But I'm going to read this quote from this guy who tried to spin it in a good way. So this is a clinical study done of diabetics who were statin users. And it was showed that statins exhibited accelerated coronary artery calcification. But the lead author, who was pro-statins, chose to interpret the increase in coronary calcification in a positive light. And this is a quote from this guy, quote, "Statins may lower the lipid-rich core of atherosclerotic plaques and may enhance the density of calcification as part of the healing process, potentially contributing to plaque stabilization and decreased cardiovascular disease events," end quote. And that is BS at the finest, ladies and gentlemen. That is just like the craziest shit on the planet. You get what I'm saying, right, Tom, how crazy that is?
Yeah, that'd be like a weatherman saying, hey, today's going to be nice and sunny. But when you go outside in the middle of the day, it's like pouring rain. And he's just like, no, it's not raining outside. It's actually sunny. It's just like everybody has their sprinklers on at once. And that's why there's like rain, there's water everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's not actual raining. It's like, no, you're just missing the obvious and you're just trying to make up stuff to, so it sounds like you're right.
Yeah, it's like he's stuck in his little room reading his computer screen, and his computer screen shows it's 75 and sunny, and everyone walks by wearing these rain jackets covered in water, and they're like, man, it's pouring outside, and he goes, no, it's not. My computer says it's 75. It's like, bro, just get your head out of your ass and open a window, and you'll see what's really going on. So that's what statins do. They suppress our body's ability to make vitamin K, and they increase coronary artery calcification, which is not a good thing, which is a huge marker for heart disease, and they increase that all bad. Statins can stimulate atherogenesis and heart failure through the suppression of perineal intermediates, and those are the intermediates made from the cholesterol synthesis, and those are all the compounds we talked about in part two, all the compounds blocked by statins. It's not just cholesterol, it's a bunch of other things. And, like, there's a reason our body makes these compounds. So, of course, there's going to be consequences when you block them. And here are a few studies that show statins increasing the odds of heart disease. This is called the Japan Lipid Intervention Trial. And in this trial, the mortality rates for cardiovascular disease and strokes and cancer and all-cause mortality were elevated along with decreased cholesterol levels below 220. So the basically, people on statins who total cholesterol dropped below 220, which again, this would be interpreted as a doctor as a good thing, all had more heart disease, more strokes, and cancer. And that's just crazy. Because in the eyes of cardiologists, lower the better. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, it's like, so what, I mean, if these are the results that you're getting, then like, what are you prescribing the statin for? Why are you trying to lower cholesterol when it doesn't seem to like match the data in any way? It's not preventing heart disease. It's not preventing strokes. Like, so what are you trying to do?
Mm-hmm. Make money. That's what it is. Make money and purport. I mean, just like continue this big ass lie. So another study, it was called a follow-up study on U.S. veterans taking statins. So in this study, coronary heart disease mortality in the statin user group was higher and appears to have increased along with the length of statin use when compared to non-statin users. So basically, whoever took the statins and whoever took the statins the longest had more deaths from heart disease, which again is the complete opposite of what is supposedly reported by pro-statin, you know, doctors out there. Another study was a large-scale follow-up study in Danes who were diagnosed with cancer. And this was similar to the case of the U.S. veterans, what we talked about before. The mortality from cardiovascular disease was higher in the statin user group and tended to increase dose-dependingly. So basically, whoever took the statins and whoever took the most statins died of heart disease the most. So there's like a dose curve with this. The more of this poison you take, the sicker you're going to get. It makes sense, you know? And at the very least, these results are not consistent with those supposed clinical trials showing a 30% decrease in coronary heart disease. And remember, like, in science, in real science, it takes one negative result to prove a theory wrong. That's it. Like, it doesn't take a million yes studies and a million no studies and we figure it out what's going on here. It's like, if you prove it's like a theory wrong once, an hypothesis wrong once, guess what? It's wrong. And the diet heart hypothesis, which damns LDL, has been proven wrong so many times. So now I want to talk about just muscle damage. And we talked about that, I think, last week or a few weeks ago, how that's one of the primary side effects of taking a statin is muscle damage and how this relates to our heart muscle. So statins induce CoQ10 depletion and muscle damage. Statin adverse effects on skeletal muscle are the most commonly reported statin side effects. Skeletal muscle weakness, muscle pain, and skeletal muscle cell death with elevated creatine kinase levels are all well-recognized phenomenon for people who take a statin. It's just known that it kills our muscles. Statins have demonstrated to decrease the concentration of mitochondria in our muscles. They decrease oxidative phosphorylation capacity, that's our capacity to produce energy, and they decrease skeletal muscle mitochondrial DNA. All those are all horrible things. In the view of this obvious, like, skeletal muscle toxicity, it would be naive to assume that statins would not likewise negatively impact the much harder working heart muscle cells, which have exceedingly high ATP requirements. And this has been shown. In animal data, statins have been shown to increase muscle heart damage in dogs. And we know that I like dog studies because dogs, like, GI tract and just the makeup of the organs is very similar to ours. So, and you made this argument in the past that, like, if statins hurt our muscles, doesn't it make sense that they would hurt our most important, hardest working muscle, which is our heart?
Oh, 100%. And especially when it's damaging the mitochondria, our heart has way more mitochondria than any skeletal muscle. Because the energy requirements are through the roof from your heart. It's not even comparable, compare your energy requirements for your heart compared to any other muscle in your body.
No, because just think, like, so someone like me and you work out every day. Do our biceps take up a lot of energy? Yeah, they do. Do our quads? Yeah, they do. But the vast majority of people don't work out, so they're not really using their skeletal muscle that much, but their heart is beating 24/7, 365. Like, of course, it's mitochondria packed, and that's why toxins are damaging and toxic to our muscle cells. It's just horrible. And
yeah, like, I use my legs a lot, but I mean, they're not working 24 hours a day. Like, mm-hmm. You know, when I'm laying down sleeping, they get a little bit of a rest. My heart doesn't get that rest. It's constantly going.
Yeah. And the first reported cases of statins related to heart failure were published in 1990. Again, that's 30 years ago. Five previously stable heart failure patients had a dramatic deterioration in heart function measurements and in clinical status shortly after beginning taking a statin. They took lovastatin. And is that Lipitor? I'm pretty sure lovastatin is Lipitor.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. Because let me just damn Pfizer for a second, because I hate that company so much. Oh, no, it's not. Okay. Whatever, all statins suck. But and they all do the same damn thing. But these patients, after they stopped taking the statins and started taking CoQ10 through a supplement, their heart actually came back to working normally, which is actually a really good thing. But it was shown that they just took a statins and their heart went to shit. In 2005, 50 consecutive patients presenting with severe statin side effects were followed up for a mean of 28 months, so a pretty long time. So in addition to symptoms of muscle pain and weakness, fatigue, peripheral neuropathy, and memory loss, roughly 1/4 of these patients had evidence of congestive heart failure at the time of presentation. All 50 patients had their statin drugs discontinued due to side effects, and all were supplemented with an average of 240 milligrams of CoQ10 per day, and they were followed up for 2 years. The patient's chief complaints improved dramatically, and 50% of those with heart failure showed a significant improvement in heart muscle function. There were no adverse effects from statin drug discontinuation, with no myocardial infarctions or strokes, and no side effects from the CoQ10 supplementation. And I think that is, like, super clear and super important to point out, that these people took a statin and their heart started failing, even though this drug is supposed to help heart failure. And then they took it off, they stopped taking the statins, and they didn't magically get more heart attacks. They were perfectly fine. And they were perfectly fine taking the supplemental CoQ10. We've talked about CoQ10 in the past as well, so I recommend you check that out. One of the podcasts is one of the supplements I actually do recommend people take. If you're not going to, you don't have access to like a ton of beef heart like me, I would recommend taking CoQ10 supplements. We talked about that in the past. So another study, which is in 2008, which was 29 patients with coronary artery disease, found a significant increase in brain natriuretic peptide after 3-month treatment with atorvastatin. And that peptide, the brain natriuretic peptide, is a well-known marker for congestive heart failure. So once again, from all these different angles, statins cause heart failure. They cause congestive heart disease. They cause heart attacks. All these things, which is the number one killer in today's world, are accelerated by statins. And I just think, like, how is this possible? Like, how is this allowed in the medical world? And there's this great quote that I pulled, and I love it. It's from Robertson Davies, and the quote is, "The eyes see only what the mind is prepared to comprehend." And this is just so true, because doctors in general are not aware that statins can cause heart failure and are clearly not recognizing it. Although the vast majority of physicians readily recognize and diagnose heart failure in patients taking statins, the heart failure is almost always attributed to other non-statin-related factors. And it's difficult, I understand, to recognize any adverse drug effects when it is delayed by several years. And I've talked about it, statins are a slow poison. They don't affect you day one, or at least not usually. And with more than 1 million heart failure hospitalizations every year in the USA, the rapidly increasing prevalence of congestive heart failure is now described as an epidemic, and it is likely that statin drug therapy is a major contributing factor. Doctors should not rely on drug information provided by industry-funded trials or trust study abstracts of clinical publications when frequently they do not provide the full picture and present many deceptions. I've talked about that a million times. You read, like, if you read that one article earlier talking about how coronary artery calcification is a good thing, if you just read the abstract, that study was spin to make statins look good. But you have to get in the nitty gritty. You have to read the little details, and it shows, like, oh man, this is, like I said earlier, cognitive dissonance. This is BS. This is just pharmaceutical spin talk making something appear better than what it is. Because in all actuality, statins are a poison. Statins are the biggest scam in the history of medicine.
Yeah, and I really don't know what the solution to this is even going to be. I guess it just has to be enough. There are cardiologists out there that are speaking like the complete opposite of this, that are going against the grain, thank God. And hopefully they'll gain enough traction to eventually convince all the other cardiologists out there. Because I think the problem has to be in our education system. Because if you learn something from med school, you're learning something from an authority. You're just going to take it and you're just going to believe it. And then once you're a practicing doctor, you're super busy. So I don't really know how much time you have to really read through all of these studies and like actually read the study itself and not just the abstract. Because unless you read through the entire study, you're not going to pick up those things like Tyson said. Like if you just read the abstract, you're just going to get in like the cliff notes. And there's a lot of messages that can be missed by just reading the abstract.
Yeah, I really think this whole, statin, big trial we're running right now, like over the past 40 years or so, like this is just one big experiment. People are getting rich off it and a lot of people are getting sick. I think this just has to run its course. What's the procedure where we used to drill holes in people's brains? What was that called? Phlebotomy?
Lobotomy.
Yeah. And we look back at that now and we're like, damn, we used to drill holes in people's heads. How barbaric is that? But I really genuinely, I hope it's in our lifetime, the next 20, 30, 50 years, I hope we look back and we're like, we used to give people drugs that did what? And we said it did what? How dumb, how barbaric. I really think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. And just to like touch on something, I know we talked about this a million times in the past. How we were talking about how CoQ10 supplementation seemed to help out with all the patients that were on a statin drug. And that's because statins, one of the things that they block is that our own production of CoQ10. So that's why CoQ10 supplementation is such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then also, pretty much like all the other like nutrients that your body's like going deficient in, you're also told not to eat the dietary sources. The best dietary sources of CoQ10, meat, especially red meat, and especially things like beef heart. So yeah, like you're not going to be told to eat those things. What was the other one? Vitamin K.
Yeah.
Best source of vitamin K, animal sources. What are the doctors going to tell you to do? Switch over to a plant-based diet. Like, yeah, you can get vitamin K, but it's the wrong vitamin K. You're not getting the K2 form, and that's what your body needs. So it's just kind of like just doctors are just making the situation so much worse. You're better off. This is a quote that Paul Saladino uses all the time, and it's so true, is eat like your ancestors, not like your doctor. And like if you follow your doctor's advice, unfortunately, it's just going to lead to more and more heart disease. And I think that's truly why heart disease is the number one killer and has been the number one killer for the longest time in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a little insight just to end with how pharmaceutical industries are super corrupt and how this game is not about your health. It's not about making you healthy. Trust me, it's about rich people getting richer. So I don't know if it's Pfizer, I believe it is, but one of the big pharmaceutical companies has a patent on a statin that actually includes CoQ10 in the supplement. And that's because in the studies, it was shown that these statins with CoQ10 actually had less side effects. And like, no shit, that makes sense. CoQ10 is very important. So supplementing with it's a good thing. But that company pretty much shelved that product, never put it on the market. So, and it's patented, so nobody else can do that. And why do you think they did that? It's because if you admit that any aspect of statins are actually detrimental, like the blocking of CoQ10, now that opens up the door for other critiques, other arguments. And they're not having that. They're not going to admit weakness on any front ever. So they make this drug that's actually beneficial, well, less harmful, I should say, but they never bring it to market. Super shady.
Your views on their motives are a lot more optimistic than mine. I was thinking like the reason they probably don't do that is if you have all these other side effects, you know what your solution to that's going to be?
Oh, more drugs.
Yeah. Another drugs, more money in the pharmacy's pockets.
Guys, see, you're probably right. I think it was probably a mixture of both, but yeah, that's just another side of it too. Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's part four. That is statins causing heart disease, the craziest one out there. Or part five, actually, statins causing heart disease. Next week, we're going to end with the big one, which is statins actually causing cancer. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. Trust me. And I'm going to break that down piece by piece. So yeah, I hope you guys learned something. You can find us on TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, if you want to show your support, please do so. The best way is to rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. Leave us a review. Make a comment on this podcast or any other favorite podcast episodes. Share it with your friends and family. You can find us basically anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. I hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.